live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Jake Huger, shout out, oh my guys. And Anna Kasparian, in a way, she is
How
on John's shirt.
She is. I wanted to make sure that she was here, at least in spirit, or at least in shirt. This is available at Shop TYT. How cool is that? How cool is that?
Yeah, that's
Shop TYT.
Anti-religion rant there that is memorialized on that shirt, shop2yt.com. Okay, so big show ahead for you guys. We have one of the most hilarious QAnon cat fights you've ever seen in your life. Mm. If you thought QAnon turning on Mike Flynn was good, you were A, correct, and B, just apparently tasting the entree. Any word, any sentence using the word taste in that context is weird. Nonetheless,
the more you say the word taste, weirder it gets.
But an even bigger conservative fight in the insane right-wing circles today. And Trump, of course, joins the fray as well. All right, so lots to get to. John Iadarola has the news.
I do have the news, or at least a fraction of it. Let's talk about it. What does Kyrsten Sinema want in the reconciliation bill? Everyone's still just so excited to find out. And we thought we had gotten a little bit closer to an answer just a few days ago when it was reported that she wanted to cut $100 billion from the reconciliation bill, specifically targeting climate funds, and specifically some climate funds intended to provide what's called climate resiliency to communities that are gonna be greatly affected by the changing climate. So there. At long last, months into this, this is what she wants. Or does she? Because within like 48 hours, they pretended that they didn't. A member of her comms team tweeted, "Neither Senator Sinema nor our office have requested or demanded such cuts, nor have we ever heard of any such demands. Once again, the New York Times relies on anonymous sources and gets it flat wrong. Do better." To his credit, he didn't refer to them as the fake news. But anyway, so, Cenk, really, we've got a lot of things that we're gonna focus on here, but at least it felt like finally she wanted to cut something. We know that if you cut like $2 trillion out of this, that's gonna be cut. They're not denying that they wanna make those cuts or that climate funds might get caught in the obstructionist crossfire. They just wanna pretend that they're not specifically calling for this to be cut. But before we really get into evaluating that, do you even believe what they're saying? Why would we believe what she or a member of her comms team at this point are actually saying about any of the specifics of the negotiations?
No, generally with any politician, especially corporate backed politicians, I don't believe a word they say. In law, there's this thing called a rebuttable presumption. It's not hard to understand. And in the case of politicians, there's a rebuttable presumption that they're lying. It can be rebutted, but my presumption is they're not telling the truth. On the other hand, have I seen the New York Times get stories wrong? Oh yeah. Okay, but here's what's important. Somebody's floating this idea. Mm-hmm. Somebody leaked it to the New York Times full well knowing that what was gonna happen. It could be her team, it could be other Democrats, but somebody put their toe in the water and go, what if we cut $100 billion from climate change? And what they got back was no, right? Certainly from the left and for most Democrats. And that's why you see Sinema's office backpedaling here. Did we put our toe in the water? No, our foot's hurt. That's why we went to Arizona. So again, to me, it doesn't really much matter if it's them or not. The only way that it would, John, is like, am I shocked and chagrined to find out she might not be for fighting climate change?
former Green Party member.
Yeah, of course I'm not surprised by that. No, hence, since my expectations were already at rock bottom, I agree with you. The fact that she put out any proposal would have been good news, not bad news.
Yeah.
And when you look at the $100 billion they were looking to cut, I thought, they're going to cut some of this stuff, John. They are, right? And so, to me, the most damaging of the cuts was the recharging stations.
Yeah, I'm gonna give us a full rundown of some of what they're specifically calling for it to be cut. They're calling for a huge chunk of the money to be cut, and this is what's going to be in that. So again, the fact that they're not specifically calling for it is not only needlessly secretive, it's also incredibly cowardly, because they do want this to be cut, whether they'll admit to it or not. On the New York Times, maybe one reason they have to use, you know, an anonymous source and just one is she's a US senator who refuses to let us know anything of what she's advocating for or against. And I think a nice little example of that is she didn't even rebut their reporting, someone on her team did. Even this, when they're finally engaging, she can't be a part of that. Probably because, as we'll soon find out, she was busy, you know, on that old dusty trail training for the Boston Marathon. But let's talk about what could end up getting cut. Before we return to the protests against her, the substance of what she is aiming to do seemingly is cutting things like this. So, Democrats are expected to protect a proposed $150 billion clean electricity program, as well as about $300 billion in tax incentives for wind and solar power and electric vehicles. However, they may slash, and when they say this, they mean they have sources that are telling them that this is being planned, up to another $200 billion in other climate programs as part of an effort to win over Sinema and Manchin. And again, you don't have to do that unless that's what they're pushing for, whether they admit to it or not. Now, party leaders have previously promised to safeguard two significant climate change programs costing $450 billion in total. The Clean Electricity Program, which incentivizes electric utilities to use wind, solar, and nuclear, and a general climate package of tax incentives meant to encourage the use of clean energy. But there are several other climate-focused programs that could theoretically be cut in order to shrink the bill. Things like these provisions aimed at helping poor people adapt to the effects of climate change, as well as a $30 billion green bank that would fund construction of community solar panels and electric vehicle charging stations. I assume that's part of what you were referring to earlier.
No, there's another provision that specifically deals with the vehicle, electric vehicle charging stations. The green bank, I think, is awesome and necessary. It is one of those things that I think might be able to stand on its own and is almost inevitable at some point. I'm being way too hopeful, okay? But there's an important part of this, which is that we've got to get just past like this rolling fascist coup that the Republicans are doing. Because if we can get that out of the way, then we have a battle between us and corporate rule. And that's a battle we are definitely going to win in the long run, because the younger voters are so overwhelmingly on our side that they stand almost no chance. So that's why when I see Green Bank, I think, I know everybody's gonna think it's way too optimistic, but that's gonna happen, right? So now, mind you guys, this is all in the context of if you have to cut something. To the point that John is making, well, wait, if Sinema and Manchin are denying this, or in this case, Sinema specifically, do you agree? If you agree, the other 48 senators agree, the House agrees, we're gonna have a deal right now. So don't tell us you agree when you obviously don't, otherwise we'd have a deal.
Is it too much to ask that in America, you could have someone ask a senator, do you want the Green Bank for $30 billion or not? But that is too much, you can't get that. She doesn't go on TV, so she's not being asked by those reporters. You go up to her in the streets, she won't answer questions. Whether you're an activist for different groups, Lauren Windsor's trying to talk to her, you do not get to know whether she supports the Green Bank. At that price, at a smaller price, you don't get to know. 4 months. And it might be cut, and it might be because of her, but you don't get to find out if it was because of her. You don't get to find out about any of this. If it ends up being 2.7 trillion or 2.1 trillion or 1.6 trillion, that is a massive difference that will change the lives of tens of millions of Americans in a variety of ways, some of which we can describe, others we can't. And you do not get to find out what effect she had over that.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Yeah, I have at least one more thing to say here, which is that I thought the progressives really had a genius idea here. And it's simple. They said, why don't we not cut anything? Now you might think, boy, what a genius idea. Why don't we just give you everything?
No.
There's of course a second part to it, which is, but we'll make it shorter. Instead of a 10-year window, we'll make the bill a 5-year window. Now that's degrees some, by the way, the number's negotiable. It could be 7 years, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. Now there's some degree of risk there, because what if 5 years later, they say, okay, we're not renewing it. And then you've really cost yourself half of it. My God, you've cost yourself half of all of these proposals.
Well, why is that clever though?
Now that's clever because both the progressives and the conservative Democrats all know that once you have these things, you'll like them. Mm-hmm. So now get a load of the argument that the Manchins and the Sinemas of the world have to make. Well, we don't agree to that, because if people get this, they'll obviously love it. And so then they'll want another 5 years and then another 10 years, etc. Then maybe in a democracy, you should give them the thing that they love and that you know they love. And by the way, why aren't you doing it in the first place if you know and are positive and are in the middle of negotiations insisting that it can't be that we give them this stuff because they will love it so much, right? Oh, it's because you have your corporate donors who say, we know Americans will love it and we don't love it. So you are not to serve your voters. And by the way, these have overwhelming majorities support in Arizona and in West Virginia. You are to serve us, your donors, instead. And that's not hyperbole. That is exactly the conversation happening in Washington right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And meanwhile, we get to sit here and wonder behind closed doors. You have $30 billion for a civilian climate corps. Hey, how about $10 billion to incentivize rural electric cooperatives to switch from coal to wind and solar? I just want to know where Manchin stands on the program that gets them to turn their back on coal. I wonder. He doesn't have any incentive either way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, John.
It's absurd that you can own a coal company and you get to decide, should we use coal or no longer? See, I wonder.
See, that's the one that Manchin is going to object to the most. Why? Because it takes away his excuses. Because his excuse is, oh, I am worried about coal jobs. But this bill will allow you to keep those jobs and actually have higher paying solar jobs. And the government will finance that transition, that bridge to that. In which case, the workers of West Virginia are definitely not hurt. In fact, they are helped. So wait, why does Joe Manchin need an excuse? Because he makes money from coal. So he needs to pretend that he's concerned about jobs. When he can't pretend that anymore, then he's out in the open and he has to admit, which he never will. And there's no reporters that'll ask him at the mainstream media, but he would have to admit, oh, I was just kidding. My voters love it. It would bring more jobs to West Virginia. I'm just greedy. And I don't want to do it because it affects my personal interests, both from my donors and because I own a coal company.
Okay, then I have a controversial idea. I'd like to propose $1 billion. Half of it, $500 million, will go to setting up a massive company to produce solar panels and wind turbines and stuff, and we give it to Joe Manchin. Another $500 million will be set up to buy a massive amount of land in Napa Valley, and we'll give it to Kyrsten Sinema, and she'll get to like stomp on grapes all day long. If it's $1 billion to get the trillions we need, they get all the money they could ever imagine. That's basically what we're doing here. It is about their financial interests. Why not just make it more explicit? Buy him a solar plant and let him break in the cash and let her live out her dream of being a wine empress.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the bribery is so brazen now. If the government itself did it, it might be more efficient. Obviously, we wouldn't be in favor of that as a principle, right? But by the way, I'm not a kidding around. Like, at some point, a progressive is going to come around who's wealthy and say, you know what, I'm just going to spend my money. And so, hey, Sinema Manchin, you guys are servants, right? So instead of serving coal interests and ExxonMobil, et cetera, here, I'll pay you more. Mm-hmm. Now you serve me.
I wish.
And they would do that deal in a second. And you serve me, and my wishes are the wishes of the American people. Now go to renewable energy.
Yeah.
I swear to you, they would do it in a flat second. And bribery is legal in America. So, hey, if there's wealthy progressives out there, you should go actively, legally bribe them. I'm not kidding.
That would be great.
They're they say they're for sale. They go and cut checks after every vote. And they're like, $2,800, give me precious. You have any idea how easily you could buy them? Just do it and be done with it. And by the way, if people complain and go, oh my God, that's outrageous, money in politics. Exactly, good. Then pass an amendment to get money out of politics. Oh, you don't want to? Then shut up.
Yeah. That's a great one. Okay, well, we don't have those billionaires. So this is what we do have. Activists had been hounding Kyrsten Sinema everywhere she goes. And I wish that the only place they had to hound her would be DC if that was the only place she was going. But instead, she's everywhere. She's doing different jobs. She has hobbies. Apparently, her medical procedure for her foot went really well because I swear to God, apparently earlier today, she ran a marathon. And so a group of 15 different national organizations, the Green New Deal Network, announced earlier that they were gonna follow her to the Boston Marathon, and they were gonna hold up signs like Senator Sinema, pass the full deal. Senator Sinema, stop running, start listening. Senator Sinema, those feet work pretty well, don't they? I made up that last one. And they have apparently done that. You can see a photo in this tweet from the Arizona Working Families Party. I found spreading this, but I don't know if we have access to it. I hope that we do. But they were waiting along the side of the route to hold up signs for her. I'm sure that she didn't engage with them. I hope that at least she saw them. But it just left me wondering, like, she's got this job teaching courses. She's taking an internship at a winery. She's running a marathon. I always thought that she had her mind towards when she got to retire. I feel like she has retired. She's just living her best life. Damn the whole Senate thing.
Yeah, it must be nice to have several different jobs.
Do whatever you want.
You know, be like, oh, the people's representative. That's a good one. An internship at a winery? Why? Yep. Does she want to meet Pete Buttigieg?
That's just fun.
What's going? That's insane. She's a United States senator. Okay. So, but if you put it in a B-rate movie, that her excuse for going home to Arizona, which was, of course, as we explained to you, there was a giant fundraiser for her, so she was going to collect donor checks. But she made the excuse that she had a foot problem. And then she turns around days later, and you put it in a movie that she runs a marathon. Mm-hmm. Everyone who read that script would say, come on, that's over the top.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. No one would believe it. This is, even if it's a comedy, it's too much to say. So she's like, oh, no, it's not the donors. I gotta go, oh, my foot. Let's run a marathon. Come on, it's absurd. And mainstream media is still calling her an accountant. She laser-like focused on the spreadsheets. She cares so much about getting it right. And she's so meticulous with the math.
Yeah.
I mean, she probably doing math while she was running the marathon. She's like, you're gonna carry the seven, right? And when they were doing the bird, I thought that when they said they were gonna bird dog her for the marathon, I was like, this is next level bird dogging. Okay, this is a known political phenomenon. If you don't know the term, just means to follow someone around and ask them questions, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, are they gonna run next to her and they're gonna take shifts? I was like, that's kind of badass, right? It's a bit much, but it's like, wow, that's dedication, right?
Yeah.
And you'd get, you know, a bunch of hours with her by the time. But no, they were just holding up signs. And so part of the reason I thought that they were gonna run with her the whole time was because conservatives started flipping out. They're like, how dare they do this to this beloved Democratic senator? Wait, what? Because she's a Republican, she serves corporate donors just like 100% of the Republican Party. So now Republicans are rushing to her defense, not just politicians, like conservative media is like, they better leave our cinema alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this makes sense for her strategy. All of these Republicans like her now, and so in the future, they'll probably support her. No, they don't care. They're still gonna choose a Republican over you, you dummy. But anyway, you are right that they are sticking up for her. I think actually we have Laura Ingraham on this.
The mob never sleeps. That's the focus of tonight's angle. The fact is, there is no satisfying the insane left that today's Democrat Party spawned and projects. There's no point in anyone trying to placate them or even paying attention to them. Because there will always come a day when you'll fall short of their constantly moving woke goalposts. Now, Kyrsten Sinema should know this by now. It doesn't matter that she's a first. that she wears fun outfits or that she voted to impeach Trump twice. That's not enough. Now that she's standing in the way of Democrats passing their multi-trillion-dollar plan to fundamentally remake this country, well, she's leftist enemy number one.
She was shocked to find out that it wasn't enough that she wears fun outfits. Yeah, no, it's not enough. I don't think we ever said it would be enough, actually. Why would that be enough?
No, but the right wing is hilarious. The only problem is that people don't realize, or their viewers don't realize they're hilarious, that they're watching a comedy. Mm-hmm. They really believe it. Oh, and now you can't even satisfy the left with fun outfits. Well, what are we going to try next?
Yeah.
Like, oh, now you're going to make us drink Starbucks every day. Like, they believe this crazy, crazy stuff. All right, look, but my favorite part of that is the mob never sleeps. So let me get this right. Activists who are going to have policy discussions with her. Have you seen the videos? We showed some of the videos on the airport. Mm-hmm. There's in the airplane, they're talking about immigration and pathway to citizenship and very specific policy discussions at the airport. They're asking about the infrastructure bill. That's apparently a mob. Mm-hmm. People breaking in to any building, let alone the Capitol, smashing the doors, the windows. Hurting, and by the way, killing cops on their way in while they're chanting about executing people is not a mob.
Tourists.
Those are just tourists slash Antifa.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Slash patriots now.
Depends.
Right. Depending on what it is, slash patriots.
Yeah.
But a mob of people worried about policy? Yeah. We can't have it. They got to go to sleep. We already have fun outfits. These people will not be appeased.
Yeah, yeah. Has anyone figured out exactly why Ashley Babbitt, Great Patriot, was hanging out with so much Antifa? Nobody's been able to explain that yet. But anyway, and we'll be talking about that more later. Yeah, and also, look, a lot of what she said was totally nonsensical. The idea that we have these ever-changing goalposts. This is like, they did COVID aid and then this. This is all we've had. What are the goalposts changing? We've cut the figure we're asking for so much. The goalpost has been moving, but in the wrong direction. But beyond just that, the propaganda, like I guess it is just more propaganda, but she can't even like fundamentally understand what's happening politically. She said the Democratic Party spawned this far left. They hate every bit of this left. How could she not see that? Like we understand, like Mitch McConnell sucks and the QAnon mob sucks. I don't think that Mitch McConnell spawned it. He may occasionally try to harness it, but we get that these are different things. Like how can you fundamentally look out at the country, the 2020 primary, the 2016 Democratic primary, and not understand how oppositional these leftists and Democratic leadership are?
Yeah, see, number one, we're not either as dense as Laura Ingraham or as deceptive as her, because she, like, for example, we understand that the Trump supporters are not at all like Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is a corporate Republican. He serves as corporate donors. The populist Republicans that look up to Trump don't even like big business. They have different problems, and we oppose both of them, but for different reasons, because one is like, oh, the brown people are the real problem. Oy, right? And the other one's like, no, you're the real problem. Corporations are the answer.
Okay. They also attack immigrants a lot too, but I don't think they mean it as much.
No, they don't mean it at all. They love the low wage immigrant workers, the Mitch McConnells and the corporations of the world. And we understand that there are corporate Democrats and then the real left. So, and these are not hard concepts. So does Laura Ingraham not understand that? In which case she's like painfully ignorant about anything happening in politics. Or does she know that, but she actively lies to you anyway?
Yeah, why not both? Anyway, Kyrsten Sinema, you have at least one defender. Oh, also Bill Maher, so she's doing a good job. Anyway, that's gonna be the first segment for us. When we come back, the big lie still alive. Stay tuned to find out who's pushing it after this.
Excuse me, I was drinking my too strong coffee there. All right, it's actually water. All right, Cenk and John with you guys back on TYT. A lot more news.
Okay, let's do it. There was a time when Chris Wallace said he would not put people on his show who supported the big lie, who would not accept that the election had not been stolen. He recently announced that considering that basically all of Republican leadership is still perpetuating that lie, he would have to modify that rule a bit. But he said, I'll bring him on, but I am gonna press them hard. And so we have the first test of that. Steve Scalise, House Minority Whip, was on Fox News on Sunday, asked about the 2020 election. Let's see how it went.
Specifically making this charge that the election was stolen, do you think that that hurts, undermines American democracy?
Well, Chris, I've been very clear from the beginning. If you look at a number of states, they didn't follow their state passed laws that governed the election for president. That is what the United States Constitution says. They don't say that the states determine what the rules are. They say the state legislatures determine the rules.
But the states all certified.
They didn't follow those state legislative
rules. The states all certified.
They didn't follow those legislative rules. Right, but at the end of the day, are we going to follow what the Constitution says or not? I hope we get back to what the Constitution says, but clearly in a number of states, they didn't follow those legislatively set rules.
Okay, so this morning I was very confused about this, that he kept switching between talking about state rules that were allegedly not followed, even though Chris Wallace points out the states certified it according to their rules. So that's state rules. And when are we gonna get back to following the Constitution, which of course is wholly separate from the state rules? So Cenk, I'm honestly not sure exactly what he's saying. I'm not sure that he knows what he's saying. He just knows that he has to project the idea that the election was stolen without saying it explicitly, because that might look bad to some Republicans, but he has to reassure the base.
Yeah, so look, we could break down his silly excuses, but you guys have heard it 1,000 times before. This whole, like, they lost 60 cases in a row, they have no evidence at all that the election was stolen, but they don't want to tell their voters that because their voters are brainwashed and on the edge of insanity at this point. So let's break down instead the dynamic of that statement. So number one, he wants to be able to preserve his ability to say later, no, I didn't say it was stolen. I never said it on TV, okay? And I never officially said it, I never said the sentence, the election was stolen, because he's a politician. So he wants to say, well, I don't know which way it's gonna go. And if Trump is run out of the Republican Party or national politics later, and then it becomes like a bad thing to have supported an insurrection against our democracy. And by the way, insurrection, people say about it on January 6th, sure. But much more so, Trump in the White House talking about martial law and using the military and using the Justice Department, and everyone's threatening to quit because that would be a political or military coup. That was an actual insurrection. So he wants plausible deniability on supporting that. But he cannot say that it didn't happen, because he would be ripped to shreds in a primary in the Republican Party if he said that Joe Biden won. Acknowledging reality in a major political party in America now, the most powerful nation on earth, just acknowledging reality will get you driven from the party.
Yeah.
And tarred and feathered. They'll chase you with sometimes literal tiki torches, okay? And so that's why you see that politician weasel there, like trying to get out of that tight spot with state rights, constitution, word salad, okay? And let me give it some sort of plausible deniability on both sides. But there's one last element of it. That's why Trump is popular, because that's how politicians talk, the way Steve Scalise did. Yeah, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I'm not gonna answer your question, and did I please both sides, right? Whereas Trump goes in and goes, yeah, they stole the election. They're robbers. I'm the cop who's gonna stop it. Me good, they evil, they bad, they Satan, right? People go, oh, I like that. Especially Republican voters. They're like, that is really simple. My simple mind understands that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But kidding aside and insults aside, they get the sense that it's authentic. It isn't actually. He's authentically stupid, Trump is, but he's not saying things that are true. But it rings authentic because he's not saying it like a political weasel.
Yeah.
Whereas when they hear Scalise, they go, I don't know which side he's on. He sounds like a weasel.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah, they most of them have become very good at not saying something the base will hate, whether it's on the election or on vaccines. You have Scalise with the election, you have Tucker Carlson never saying the vaccine will kill you, don't take the vaccine, but trying to reassure his base continually that they shouldn't, that there's something suspicious about it. And so they like that because it's trying not to offend them. But I agree, they're gonna like the one who just goes full crazy and tells them exactly what it is that they want to hear.
Well, I think what would work, John, is if somebody tried being authentic without lying.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
Well, if they were like, hey, you know what? Actually, you should get healthcare. Every other developed nation has it. We don't. And sometimes your family members die because of it.
I feel like there's a candidate that did that.
Yeah, there was actually two candidates. One ran for Congress. Senator Nina Turner. And the other one ran for president. They kind of worked together. And people loved them until the mainstream media came in and said they were going to execute people in Central Park.
Oh my God.
And that it was going to cost so much money that we couldn't afford wars anymore.
Yeah. If you don't like brown shirts, wait until you see the digital brown shirts. Anyway, we have a little bit more of Steve Scalise. Let's see if Chris Wallace can get anything like a definitive statement out of him.
So you think the election was stolen?
But what I said is there are states that didn't follow their legislatively set rules. That's what the United States Constitution says. And I think there are a lot of people that want us to get back to what the Constitution says we should be doing, not just with elections, with a lot of other things too. And then there's some people that want to just ignore what the Constitution says and do their own thing. You know, that's been a debate that's been going on in this country for a long time.
But
why don't we just get back to the Constitution?
We wouldn't have that problem. And there certainly could happen, but there are people out there. There was a rally for President Trump yesterday, and a number of people said, Joe Biden's not my president, Donald Trump is my president. I guess the question is, do you think the election, last time, I promise, do you think the election was stolen or not? I understand you think there were irregularities and things that need to be fixed. Do you think the election was stolen? Yeah.
And it's not just irregular, it's states that did not follow the laws set, which the Constitution says they're supposed to follow. When you see states like Georgia cleaning up some of the mess and people calling that Jim Crow law, that's a flat out lie. I think people need to stand up against that sort of thing.
All right.
Yeah, wait, again, what specific state laws does the Constitution mandate for state level control of the elections? I don't know because he won't say. And while Chris Wallace ostensibly is grilling a member of Republican leadership, he's doing so in like the softest hands way. He's saying, do you believe, rather than we're 9 months into Biden's term. You guys have had dozens of court cases. You've had audits. None of it has shown anything of what you're saying. Why do you persist in trying to make people suspicious of the outcome? It should not all be about whether he believes. You already know what he's going to say. And he keeps appealing to the Constitution. We should get back to the Constitution. Chris Wallace never says what specifically in the Constitution. Constitution ain't long. It's not Atlas Shrugged. Point to it. What in the Constitution specifically are we supposed to be doing? But he lets him just like wriggle like an eel and not say anything. And so it seems like he's being hard on him, but Steve Scalise never felt any real pressure there.
No, although the conservative viewers will probably see that and go, he didn't say that it was stolen, I hate him. So there's a little bit of silver lining there. But last thing on this is, he said Constitution repeatedly because that's his talking point. As John explained, he never clarified what in the Constitution he's talking about because it's a talking point. But we talk about upholding the Constitution all the time. So if you're a neutral observer to American politics, you might say, well, the right wing says they are in favor of the Constitution, the left wing says they're in favor of it. How am I supposed to tell? Well, here's one way you could tell. You could read it. And so facts matter and there is a right and wrong. So the right wing thought, led by Donald Trump, that Mike Pence, the vice president, could come during a ceremonial declaration reading of what the states have already decided based on their votes, and he could just not read it and declare Trump the president. Mm-hmm. But the vice president has unilateral authority to wipe away the entire election. Okay, well, you look in the Constitution and you tell me if that exists anywhere in there. I can tell you ahead of time, it doesn't. So I say they're goddamn liars. They say, Constitution, I'm not gonna tell you where it is. All right, but Constitution, the vice president has godlike authority. Okay, well, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. You don't have to trust us, you can just read the Constitution.
Yeah.
Find it for me, anyone at all, right? So, but they say this, and that's why on January 6th, the people who broke into the Capitol were chanting, hang Mike Pence, because he would not say that Trump became magically president. And by the way, you all know I'm right. Because no right winger would tell you right now, that's okay, we don't have to have 2024 election. Kamala Harris decides who the next president is. She's the vice president, so it's over. She could just make a unilateral decision either way.
We have to get some Republicans on that have tried to make that case, and you have to put that to them because no reporter is going to do that.
Yeah, isn't it so sad? By the way, look at what John said, and you all know it's true. If whether you're right wing or left wing or anywhere in the middle, isn't it so sad that we don't have a single national reporter who would ask the most obvious question? If Pence can overturn the election, can Kamala Harris, they're both vice president. You guys say it's in the Constitution, tell us where it is in the Constitution, then great. Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris has way more power than we imagine. It's a simple question.
Yeah.
Well, but no, it would offend Republicans. It would offend, who cares, you're a reporter. Nope, reporter means just having access to power and then serving power.
That's true. Yeah, and by the way, that's like the most crystallized specific example. But you know, if you are a Republican electorate that in a state votes for the Republican candidate in 2024, you better hope that there's not a Democratic governor or Democratic legislature, because they can just send whoever they want. They don't have to send the actual electors that were voted for. Apparently, that's what we're finding out. Nobody actually believes this.
Yeah, all you have to do is declare that there was fraud. Go to court 60 times and lose every case. Lose every case. It doesn't matter. You just say, yep, Kamala Harris, governor, Democratic governor. We just declare ourselves kings. That's what Trump wanted to do. And these guys are dare to talk about the Constitution, which they actually, Scalise has read the Constitution, yep, and he despises it. He wants to turn this into a tyrannical authoritarian government instead of the democracy we actually are.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. If somehow Tucker Carlson beats Bernie Sanders in 2024, we're just gonna throw it back to Bernie. That's what we get to do. Anyway, I'm just joking. Anyway, we're gonna take a break. We come back, we have a duel of titans. Lynn Wood, Marjorie Greene, who is going to be King Clown? We'll find out after this.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk and John with you guys. We got more crazy news.
Oh, it's crazy. Okay, let's jump into some crazy. Marjorie Greene and Lynn Wood have two things in common. They both love Trump and they both love grift. And that means that at some point, they're gonna have to duel each other for who's more supportive of this whole Trumpian thing. I wanna show you a video. This is Lynn Wood attacking Marjorie Greene for, I kid you not, being a communist.
In my opinion, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a communist. If Marjorie Taylor Greene running around saying impeach Biden, that says that Biden won. He didn't. And you would never impeach him with a communist Congress. It's a waste of time. It's all show. A traitor will come at you as a patriot. Be careful.
That's a good warning, but it seemingly applies as much to him as to her. His audience probably won't pick on up on that. But anyway, he's out there, he's trying to get people to give him money, he's trying to find right-wing causes to attach himself to. She is a massive supporter of President Trump. Linwood would say that he is too. So why wouldn't they fight eventually? She, in trying to remove Biden from office, is proving that she's a traitor to Trump. Also, she's a communist, although he never explains in that video exactly why that is.
They never bother explaining. Later we're gonna show you Charlie Kirk saying that Chuck Schumer and corporate Democrats are trying to take away private property.
They have like, so much of it.
How? Why? Like they're the defenders of wealth in this country. That is a correct criticism. Saying they're trying to take away private property. Marjorie Taylor Greene is wackadoodle, and there's 1,000 critiques you could have of her. Being communist ain't one of them, okay? And partly because she doesn't even understand it. We've shown you other clips where she has no idea what socialism is, communism is. She has no idea what capitalism is. Mm-hmm. And so maybe he could have put together some convoluted logic, like she thinks the government helping people is a good thing, and she calls that capitalism. When actually it's socialism, mm-hmm, right? And you could have gone in that direction, but he's like, no. If you want to impeach Biden, that means you're a communist. What? Okay, they're not even trying to make sense anymore because they don't have to. Their audience has given them carte blanche. Logic not required, facts not required. You never showed one piece of evidence that the election was stolen. We all believed you anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Lynn Wood sometimes refers to himself as Jesus, Moses, etc. Did they require proof of that?
No.
I assure you they didn't.
No.
Okay. So, but I love this fight. So Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to join the fight here.
Yes, it goes back and forth in some weird ways. What is his actual beef with her? Well, acknowledging that Biden won, even though she totally doesn't do that. But also, for weeks, Linwood, who has over 800,000 followers on his Telegram channel, Jesus, has been complaining about what he perceives as Green's lack of effort to force a forensic audit in Georgia, similar to the one that has just concluded in Arizona. So he wants an audit like they had with the cyber ninjas or whatever. So there's a few issues with that. One, it showed that the election hadn't been stolen. But of course, they're not going to acknowledge that. Two, what part would Marjorie Greene have in getting the Georgia state government to do a forensic audit of the results? She's a congresswoman with the federal government. She has nothing to do with that. And third, she was elected in that election. Now, maybe now he would do the thing I'm about to say, but no one on their side who says that the Georgia elections stole the result for Biden. It was not a reliable election, it was stolen. None of them say, thus she's not a real congresswoman, even though she was elected in the same election. So even just pragmatically, why would she audit the results of an election that gave her the position in your mind to audit the results, even though she can't because she is not she's not serving in Georgia state government? None of it makes any sense.
Yeah.
But it's enough to label her a communist, of course.
But so let me tell you why they're doing it, and then we'll get to her attacks on him.
Yes.
Because this is a super fun cat fight. So it's a cycle of re-grifting. So it happens on almost every front, because the ultimate grifter has to prove to everyone that they are the only one who's looking out for them. So that means they not only have to attack the other side, but eventually they, by the nature of their grift, they must attack their own.
To grow.
To grow, because hey, you gotta pick a fight with someone bigger or more powerful to get attention. And if you're online, because the algorithm forces you to, because you wanna get into their
drama and all that, yeah.
Right. You use the titles, thumbnails. If they're doing videos, it gets into their videos, et cetera. In this case, it's mainly the titles and thumbnails, et cetera. And it probably applies to the Telegram algorithm and the Twitter algorithm, and et cetera, as much as it does to the YouTube and Facebooks. So there's like the mechanics of why they do it. And then there's the overall idea. But the other part of it that's important is they have to convince everyone they are the only true fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. The only true conservative, the only true Trump supporter, the only true steal the election or whatever the hell the thing
is. Pro-Trump fascist.
Right, exactly. And then on the left, of course, is the guy who does that, right? I'm the only true progressive, and that's how I prove it, by attacking all other progressives, mm-hmm. Right?
Ken Klippenstein, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely
Ken. That guy's an ass.
Yeah. So, or Bernie Sanders, either way.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's the nature of the grift. Because if you are giving to Amy Goodman, well, then you're not giving to Jimmy Dore. Oh, did I say I didn't? Anybody? It could have been anyone.
I do think it's Kenton, but
right.
Whatever.
Okay, and so that's why you'll say Amy Goodman, CIA. I mean,
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Okay, I forget if she's a CIA.
I think she's 004, actually.
It could be.
It's an MI thing. Yeah.
She's CIA adjacent. She's doing CIA talking
Amy
points.
Amy Goodman?
Amy Goodman. Okay.
No.
Okay. All right.
No. I mean,
that's my point. It's insanity. It's to get the folks who are most angry and most detached from logic and facts.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, on the right wing, you have a target-rich environment. On the left, it's a sliver. On the right wing, it is the majority of the party, right? Mm-hmm. So they're trying to say, hey, don't give money to Marjorie Taylor Greene. Don't support her. She's raised more money than anyone in Congress,
yeah.
Right?
She has,
Lynn Wood is saying, give me the money. And that's why they get in money next.
That's true.
Right? And you'll see how that plays out. Come be my supporter, give me money, follow me on Telegram, etc. That's why he has to attack Marjorie Taylor Greene and she has to attack back.
Yeah, he says you can't trust her with your money. She says the same. And I find both of them very persuasive. Anyway, so she has a multi-pronged attack. So she says this first. She tweeted, he lifts up his Bible high and lies and lies and lies. He's not one of us. And he used a child being attacked by Marxist BLM. read all the way to the end. So it's a thing about how he used Kyle Rittenhouse. So she's referring to him as a child. He's a multi-murderer, but I guess he's a child in this particular case. Here's the thing. She's totally right. He did use Kyle Rittenhouse, but that, like, you are using it too. You're using it as a sign of how pure you are, that you want to defend him against Marxist BLM or whatever. And she also tied it in with January 6th. She said, and you have to ask yourself, if Linwood has fought so hard against the election like he claims, even encouraging people to go to the Capitol on J6, why isn't he a target of the J6 witch hunt? The J6 committee is only focused on Trump's biggest defenders, but not Lynn Wood. And I love that, because look, the takeaway for a Trump fan from that is Lynn Wood isn't supportive enough of Trump, who secretly won the election. But look at what she has to do inside of it. For someone as dim as her, it's actually pretty sophisticated. She says Lynn Wood even encouraged people to go to the Capitol, something she will never say that she did, because she doesn't want to be implicated in January 6th. But she definitely wants all the people who support it to still like her. So she says they hate me more than him, even though I totally wasn't involved. But like, if you were involved, you should like me because they hate me. The people that are against January 6th, which I didn't support, but I'm also the biggest supporter of. It's a very nuanced thing for people without much natural mental ability to try to thread that needle. I'm not saying anything specific, but you should like me if you like that thing that I did not support.
Okay, so there's two things that I love here. One is it's like two movies that they're accidentally referencing. One is Inception. It's a conspiracy theory inside a conspiracy theory, right? Oh, how come Lynn Wood is not being investigated by the J6 committees? Now, he says he was in favor of January 6th, but yet he's not being investigated. What if he was there? So which leads to the second movie, Princess Bride. Or what if it's the cup in front of you? And this is the conversation they're having on the right wing. Now, the serious part. They are literally having a debate over who supports the racist murderer more. That's what the GOP has devolved into. Kyle Rittenhouse went to Black Lives Matter with a weapon to a Black Lives Matter protest looking for trouble. He found the trouble and he shot and killed two people and he's up on murder charges. And so here's a guy who went because of racial animus and then killed two people. And these are two leaders in the Republican Party. He got a decent chunk of the vote in South Carolina when he ran for GOP chair in South Carolina, a big chunk. She's a United States Congresswoman, and she raised the most money because people love her in right-wing circles.
Yeah.
So two leaders in the Republican Party arguing, no, I like the racist murderer more than you like the racist murderer. And then they're having a fight over that. That's today's Republican Party.
Yeah. By the way, Jang, I really liked your idea about the Inception thing. If this was a movie, do you know how it'd end then? Okay, so you see Marjorie Greene, the camera zooms into her skull, and you see a mouse on a wheel, and the wheel's spinning. It's spinning. It looks like it might stop, and the screen goes black. You never find out if the wheel stops spinning.
Think about it.
Think about it. Anyway, we got one more story. It's gonna be a little bit of a weird transition from that to this, but we've got something very serious that we have to make sure that we get to. So do you wanna give the warning first, or should we go right into it?
Well, look, it's graphic.
Sure, it's graphic. So we're gonna play you a video in just a second, but understand it is graphic in nature as we roll this.
All right, call. Time to get out of the car.
I'm not getting out. I just told you I'm a paraplegic. I cannot get out.
I do not want to have to. I do not want to have to.
Can you call your wife, sir, please?
I will.
If you pull me out of here, you better expect.
So here's the thing. I'm gonna pull you out, and then I'll call a white shirt because you're getting out of the car. That's not an option. You're getting out of this car, so you can cooperate and get out of the car, or I will drag you out of the car. Do you see your two options here?
I would like for you to call your white shirt.
I will when I'm done. Get out of the car.
Come on, bro.
Get out of the car.
Dude, you're making this worse.
I'm a paraplegic, bro.
I'm trying to tell you that I got help getting in the car. Y'all can hurt me. They can hurt me.
Get out of the car.
Somebody help!
Stop.
Somebody help!
Stop.
Someone help!
Stop.
So are y'all recording this?
Stop.
Somebody help! I'm a paraplegic.
Stop.
They are doing the unjust thing to me. Somebody please help me.
Stop.
I gave y'all everything y'all asked for.
Fine. Cooperate.
Can y'all call the white shirt?
You call whoever you want.
Can y'all call the real police, please?
You're about to get tased, dude. I ain't playing with you anymore.
Help!
The man that you see in the video, who's a paraplegic, is Clifford Owensby, who was stopped by police officers on September 30th as he was driving away from what police say was a suspected drug house. Because of Owensby's past felony drug and weapons history, officers wanted a police K-9 to conduct a free air sniff of the vehicle to determine if there were illegal drugs inside. Now, he asked for a white shirt to show up. This is a police supervisor. I don't know exactly what's going to end up coming out as a result of this investigation, but what I do know is he knows that he's been stopped. All he wants is someone who apparently understands that you cannot ask a paraplegic to step out of a vehicle. That doesn't make any sense, and that dragging them out, including by their hair, perhaps makes even less. And they would not do that. It wasn't just that they were gonna get him out of that car, but they were gonna get him out on their timeline if they had to literally drag him out and throw him on the street.
Yeah, so first let's get rid of distraction. The first thing they always do is he innocent or not? It's irrelevant. Even if, first of all, they found no drugs or weapons on his car. But even if they had, that's not how we should be detaining people in America. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean you let him go. We have to say this 1,000 times, even though it's so obvious. It means you're a patient, you call in other people who can do it, you have him under surveillance if you're seriously concerned about him, right? And then you do it the right way. But in America, violence is the only answer for the police. So in other countries, there is a quote unquote right way. We've shown you tapes of it in Northern European countries, in Japan, in the UK, et cetera, where they're patient. I've seen the UK police disarm guys with machetes swinging wildly at police officers, mm-hmm. and they do it without any weapons, and they're amazing and they're patient, right? Our guys are, to be fair to our cops, and it's a funny thing to say, but we teach them to be brutal and to be violent and to never take anything as an excuse. The first thing you teach them in police training is you have to assert your authority. Don't let anybody question your authority because it'll devolve into chaos. Now, if they were gonna put together a committee and they were gonna have a conversation about it for 3 hours, yeah, I could see how that could be an issue, mm-hmm. right? But no, we're not asking for that. We're asking for what police do all across the world. It's not complicated.
Yeah.
But for us, we train the cops. Oh, they're paraplegic? Then you drag him out by the hair.
Yep.
They drag the guy out by his hair. When you're having to do that, does it not occur to you that maybe he wasn't lying and he can't use his legs? And that's why you're having to drag him out by his hair?
Yeah.
And then later they drag him on the street because he can't use his legs.
Yep.
And so did it not occur to you as you were dragging him on the street? Hey, you know what? Maybe we should put him on a curb. We should pat him down. But wait for a professional that knows how to deal with this, because obviously we don't,
yeah.
right? No, it never occurs to them that, because their bosses never told them that. What they told them is, if you've got a citizen, especially if they're black, especially if they're poor, do not give them any benefit of the doubt on anything. Just kick the crap out of them until they listen to what you say. What if they can't hear? Who cares? We just did a story last week about a guy who was deaf.
Yeah.
He can't hear the commands. How dare you? You're questioning my authority. I will assault you, right? Yeah. You don't have legs or are paraplegic. Doesn't matter, because the only thing we've ever taught our cops is brutality. That's why I tell you the most important police reform isn't any specifics. It's actually changing the culture of policing, that brutality is not the answer.
Yep. Yeah, and the only other thing I want to say is it might sound as if we are trying to launch into a national conversation about whether humans suspected of having committed a crime deserve to be treated with any dignity or respect. But we're not. The right wing does think that. They just think it about a very narrow segment of the population. This might seem like a weird comparison, but do you remember when Roger Stone was arrested? And the right wing cried about how they sent so many cops, the cops had guns, why were they doing this? Why is it necessary? Well, they were arresting him for crimes that he was suspected of having committed. So they thought than him. He wasn't brutalized. He wasn't thrown on the ground or dragged by his hair, or they didn't like take his penguin hat off and throw it in the bushes or whatever. They treated him perfectly nice. There were just a bunch of them, and for the right wing, that was unacceptable. So there are definitely people that they think the cops should treat with respect, even if they believe that they've committed a crime. It's just not regular people like you and I. Certainly not any random black person. Those people just don't deserve the respect that high class dignified people like Roger Stone deserve.
It's not just that, John. On January 6th, that's where I thought you were going with it. They're saying, how could they possibly shoot Ashley Babbitt when all she had done was broke into the building, trespassed, and was part of was the first person in a literal mob who were chanting to execute the vice president. How could they do that to this police violence? They never, how about all the black people they've been killing that we showed you all the time who were unarmed, didn't do anything wrong, etc. Oh yeah, but they're black.
Yeah, that's what.
So that's the right wing in this country. We gotta live with them, we gotta somehow deal with them. But what we don't have to tolerate is our own government and our own taxpayer money paying for cops who are taught to brutalize us.
Yeah.
It's totally unacceptable. Yeah. Okay, we are out of time, although we have got to do that Charlie Kirk story somewhere. All right,
so I think that is a great bonus episode story.
All right, well, members, you're gonna love the bonus episode today, apparently. All right, we gotta take a break. Thank you, John. Everybody check out Damage Report.
Nina Turner tomorrow. Tune in, it's gonna be fun.
That's right, tomorrow's big day. Start your day with Damage Report, go to Indisputable, go to the conversation where I'm gonna talk to Michael Cohen about Trump financial dealings.
Being an animal.
Right, and then Anna's back tomorrow on the main show.
Nice.
Okay, so JR and I'll come back. We have amazing stories for you guys, including, yes, Civil War. That talk has definitely begun. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.